1 Peter 5:8, where we're going to launch this first lesson entitled The War We Cannot See. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God tells you and I that we have an enemy, a very real enemy, that is out to devour our lives and our families. Now imagine with me this morning that you had a contract out on your life, that a sniper had been hired to take your life. Imagine that were the reality for you at this moment. What would you do? Well, you might panic. You might call the authorities. You might try to do some research into how this sniper has accomplished that in the past. I think you would take whatever precaution you could to protect your life, to preserve your life, and to prevent that from happening. And whatever the case would be, certainly you would not just sit by and do nothing and let it happen. Well, this morning, as you and I gather and we launch into this series Secure, there is a fact that there is a contract out in our life and our family. It's not a physical contract to kill, but it is a spiritual contract to devour. God has warned us that Satan desires to devour our life, our marriage, and our family. And Satan is working overtime all the time. And as we launch into this series, it is our prayer that over the next several weeks, we will be learning from the Scriptures, how does Satan devour lives and relationships? What are his most used tactics, and how can we be protected from what he desires to do? And that's what we want to do. And this morning, we're just kind of laying the foundation so that we can begin studying these in earnest and how to protect our families from them. So as we dive into this introductory lesson, as we look at the war we cannot see, notice with me, first of all, the fact that we must be exposing and understanding our unseen enemy. Now, we have an enemy that we cannot physically see. And if we're going to have victory from this enemy and from this attack, then we must expose and understand who we're talking about. Who is this real enemy that we cannot see? And how do we protect our lives and relationships from him? And to discover more about this, notice with you letter A slaughter from another world. There's something happening that we need to realize this morning is a reality. It's happening all around us, and we need to be aware of it. And notice with me in the Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12 in your notes this morning. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there is a real enemy out there who is devouring lives. There's a slaughter happening spiritually in our world today. Satan is like a very cunning fisherman. He's a master at what he does. He knows how to bait and lure the hook. He knows where to go. He knows when to strike. He knows how to get people to bite. And then once they do, he is a professional. He's an expert at reeling them in despite the struggle and bringing great devastation and ruin to their life. Satan has done it over and over and over again, and he is doing it now to many families in our culture and society today. And as we go through this series, we're going to really focus over the next several weeks on four major hooks that Satan uses, that he oftentimes finds success in ruining families through these tactics. And we're going to be warned of them, and then we're going to be equipped with, okay, how do we navigate through that? How do we get victory through that? But today we really want to focus on what is the bait that Satan uses. How is he getting people to bite on these hooks? How is he getting people to follow his leading? How is he getting people to go down to the path to the slaughterhouse, if you will? How is Satan doing that? Well, he's a master at baiting it. And we need to know how he does that and then apply that to our life. And we want to know from God's word, how can we escape this temptation and destruction that Satan desires to bring? And so we need to be aware there's a slaughter going on up there. Satan is having his way with many families in our culture and society today. And in order to see the bait and to avoid it, we let her be need to see the other world. We have to be able to see things differently. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if we continue to live and see temporal things, class, we're going to miss what Satan is doing. Because our eyes are not on the eternal, we're not seeing what's truly happening, and Satan could be having his way in our own life, in our own marriage, in our home, and we are not even aware of where he is taking us. We have to learn to see another world. There is a spiritual world out there of good and evil that we have to be aware of. Now, there's a great illustration of this in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, and I put these verses in your notes, and I want you to look at them with me. Now, here's what was happening. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So here the people of God were under siege. The enemy had surrounded the city. There was a lot of men. There was a lot of horses. There was a lot of chariots. It was a massive army. And the servant is saying, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. We're going to die. They're going to take our city from us. Now watch this. And he answered, fear not. So the servant sees nothing but a massive enemy out there. And the master says, don't worry about it. Why? Now notice this. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant still wasn't getting it. So here's what Elisha does. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So Elisha said, listen, I'm not worried about the enemy that's out there because I see the God that's out there. Now, the servant couldn't see it. The servant got up and saw that the city was surrounded by an enemy and said, we're dead. What are we going to do? He was in panic mode. And Elisha said, don't worry, God's got this. And Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. And then the servant saw the spiritual army that was there and said, oh, okay, I guess we're going to be all right. The servant had an enlightening moment. He was able to see something he wasn't able to see before. Now, we're not going to get together in this series and pray that God will help us to see the demons around town and know where to go. That's not this kind of series, okay? But here's what I am praying for. I am praying that God will give us a spiritual enlightenment. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is I am praying that God will give us an awareness to what Satan is trying to do. We cannot just go through the motions of this world, finding our lane and doing our thing, unaware of the fact that Satan is out to devour your life, marriage, and family. We have to see life through that lens. We have to understand that we are under attack, and we have to be aware of where it's coming from and what we can do to secure our home. And you see, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were natural men. The things of the spiritual world meant nothing to us, and we could not see them. But as we accept Christ, our understanding increases. And now we are aware that there is a spiritual realm. There is good and there is bad. And there is a battle raging around us for our own family that we need to be aware of. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He's not aware, but the spiritual man and woman certainly can be. And we have to be able to dig into the Word of God, to understand what does the Bible say about this warfare that is raging today? What does the Bible say about this attack? What does the Bible say about our protection? And we have to ask God to guide us so that we will not be deceived. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, "And whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." When you and I accept Christ as our Savior, when the gospel comes into our life, our eyes are opened, we have an enlightenment, we have an understanding, and now we begin to see there's more to this life than what meets the eye. There's something happening here. My life is not just for the minutes, days, months, and years I'm going to spend on this earth. My soul is going to last forever. What does that mean? And how should my life and family be constructed accordingly? We know that Satan is blinding the eyes and minds of people today, and he's devouring their lives. But God wants you and I to be enlightened. God wants you and I to have spiritual understanding. God wants us to be able to see the hook when everybody else around us sees the bait. God wants you and I to be able to see the end when everyone else sees the beginning. God wants you and I to see the consequence when everyone else is making the choice. God wants you and I in this room to have some spiritual maturity and discernment, that the decisions we're making that affect our marriages and our homes are not just flippant decisions, but they are biblically based decisions with knowledge of the fact that this matters, that what we're doing right now in constructing a home and securing it spiritually, this matters for the little lives that are growing up in those homes and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because the warfare for our future is very real and it's intense and there are spiritual casualties everywhere and we must be willing to be on guard. We have to be willing to see what others cannot see. And this will require letter C, exposing the enemy. Now it is important to understand that Satan is not our friend. That Satan is our enemy and he's in attack mode and he desires to devour our lives and our families. And there are some verses in the New Testament that give great insight into what he's doing. And I want you to look at them with me this morning as we study them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we're learning here, Satan's in attack mode. He wants to devour our life and family. How is he doing it? He's doing it through the mind. He's doing it through the imagination. What does it mean? It means that Satan is going to attack your spirit. And the initial effects of a successful attack of Satan is when our spirit is wounded or broken or hurt or closed or angry or in some other way twisted as a result of what Satan is doing. Now, when we talk about a spirit, what are we talking about? We're talking about our attitude or the spiritual condition of our heart. So our spirit, our attitude, the spiritual condition of our heart, Satan has a target for that in your life. He wants to hurt it. He wants to wound it. He wants to twist it. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to close your spirit to God. And if Satan can get you to close your spirit to someone in a key relationship, he can begin to devour that relationship. Satan loves it when husbands and wives have a closed spirit one to the other. Satan just rejoices when a child and a parent have a closed spirit one to the other. Satan loves it when someone in the church has a closed spirit to the pastor. Satan loves it when someone has a closed spirit even to God. When Satan can get someone to close their spirit to someone else who is vital in their life, then he is on his way to winning the battle for their heart. In class, we have to understand this morning, the battleground is our imagination. Satan is after our imagination. Satan is planting thoughts in our life to bring division amongst key relationships in our lives. And God challenges us in His Word that we read a moment ago that we are to cast down these imaginations. Now, As we go through life, there are two perspectives, if you will, that I want to give you as these thoughts come into our mind. As Satan or thoughts come into our lives and mind, on the one hand, there's truth, okay? The Bible says in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So as we go through life, we are going to encounter truth, okay? And by the way, we should know truth. We should hunger for truth. We should build our lives upon truth. It is truth we plan to study over the next several weeks. But in addition to truth, there's also imaginations. The Bible describes these imaginations as exalting themselves against God or against truth. And the devil wants you and I to follow these imaginations rather than following truth. And so Satan and his army are doing all they can to plant imaginations in the minds of God's people to lead them from truth. And Satan is a master deceiver. The Bible says of him in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And Satan has a lot of devices. He has a lot of hooks. He has a lot of bait. He has a lot of means in which to get people detoured from truth. And he's doing that by implanting these false imaginations in our hearts. And if we're not careful, they run like a wildfire over a dry field, and they begin to take a life of their own. Now, what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to create a false reality. Okay, well, what does that sound like? Well, it might be in the heart of your child something like, it doesn't matter what I do. I will never please mom. Or I will never please dad. It might be in the heart of the parent something like, I don't think my child wants to spend any time with me. I guess we'll just spend less time together from now on. It might be in the heart of a spouse at some point feeling like, I just can never do anything right. I'll never be what she needs me or he needs me to be. And Satan begins to plant these seed thoughts, and he wants a false reality to be adopted into our mindset that it's never going to work. And they become very subtle. They start very simple. They're just little seeds. But we've got to be aware in this class who's planting the seeds and what his end game is. Because the Bible says of Satan in John 8:44, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, God wants you and I to have truth in our life, and God wants you and I to think on truth, because what we think about is what we do. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So imaginations can creep into your mind every day. Class, I have no doubt that Satan is tempting every one of us daily with an imagination to think on. And my question to you is, are you willing to expose the enemy? And are you willing to analyze your own life and say, am I thinking about imaginations or am I thinking about truth? Am I thinking about reality or am I thinking about a false reality? Is my life and thinking based upon the Word of God, or is it based on something else? Because there's an enemy out there and he wants to put an imagination in my heart. Now God says, I want you to live according to truth. In John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide you into all truth. With you and I, saturate our minds in the Word of God when we're faithful to church, when we're faithful in our study, we are more apt to see when a false imagination is coming and where it is leading. And by the way, when you and I get the Word of God in our life, not only will we see the hook when others see the bait, we can flat out get rid of the fishermen. Notice what the Bible says in James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Could you imagine if a fish had the ability down there under the surface of the water, all the fishermen are up there with their poles and their hooks and their lure and their bait to get all the other fish together and to say, hey, here's what's really happening. Let's go someplace else. I mean, it would put the fishing industry out of business, right? All the magazines, all the fishing shows, all the poles, all the, Bass Pro Shop. I mean, just done. Right? Now, do they have that ability? No. And thankfully for all those things I just described, they don't. We do. We know God, and we have His Word. We have the ability to expose the enemy and to not be devoured by his tactics. But we have to be able to see it. And the only way to be able to see it is to know truth and to expose him for who he is and to be willing to say, in the relationships that God has given me, am I living off truth or am I living off imagination? The Bible says in Psalms 119, 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Class, may that be a desire of our heart this week. I'm not going to live according to vain thoughts, but I am going to live according to the Word of God. That's what I want to guide my life. And you and I will be shocked if we're honestly evaluating our life and relationships. We will be shocked at where we've allowed vain imagination to come in and to triumph over truth. You say, well, I don't know if that's true for me. Okay, sit down with your spouse this week and ask them. I think that this right here is something that's really bothering me, that I think you're thinking or you're doing or whatever. Is that truth or not truth? And I think everyone in this room would be shocked that there is some thought in your mind about your spouse that you think that's a thought that you have that is not truth. That as you talk about it and you expose it, you will find this is not truth, but this is a vain imagination that Satan has planted. What does God say to do? Cast it down. So if we're going to be able to secure, we've got to know who the enemy is. But then secondly, we must then be willing to live preemptively to avoid falling prey to Satan's tactics. Now, we've got to then put some things in motion in the way we live and govern our lives and family. Now, what do we do there? Well, first of all, we've got to recognize, letter A, that God has already promised you the victory. And what a blessing that is. In John, 1 John 4, 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter how defeated you feel this morning. It doesn't matter how defeated you feel like your marriage or your family may be. Satan has been doing his work to convince you that you are living a defeated life. And I just want to encourage you, there is victory in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can bring victory to any life, any marriage, any family in this room and in our community. Jesus Christ can bring the victory. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God has promised us a victorious Christian life if we will live it according to His plan, according to truth. And parents, here's my challenge as we launch into this series. You are the key to the spiritual health, maturity, and stability of your children. We cannot equip our children to live a victorious Christian life and not model one before them. It doesn't work. You cannot be a travel agent as a parent and send your children to some place you've never been. You have to model it for them. You have to show them up close and personal, here's what a victorious Christian life looks like. Not a perfect one, because none of us will ever achieve that, but a victorious one. And I just want to let you in on a little secret. It's hard work. Living a victorious Christian life, having spiritually protected homes, is not for the faint at heart. It's not for the casual Christian. It's not for the parent who wants to just put in the nominal effort. Not going to happen. That's the devoured crowd. But the crowd that's going to be secure, that's going to be victorious, that's going to model something real and authentic for their children, God says there's victory for that crowd. Through Jesus Christ, there is victory if they will do their part. And our children need us to teach them, but they really need us to show them this victory, because the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So how do we have this victory? We got to recognize, letter B, that there is a truth crisis in our culture today. There's a truth crisis in our culture today. For the most part in America today, the Bible is a foreign concept. And it's sad, but it is true. The reason so many homes in America are falling to Satan today is because they have no truth. And these vain imaginations are coming so fast and furious, and they have no guard. They have no security system. They have no defense. And they're going down like flies. It's a tragedy. So how are we going to secure our lives, our marriages, our homes? It must be based upon truth. You see, family ministry used to be about teaching children the Word of God and helping them to obey God. Now family ministry is trying to teach the Word of God to parents and encouraging them to obey God. This room last weekend was filled with children. And we will continue to minister and to teach children. But we understand in 2018 that if we don't have moms and dads at home that are actively pursuing knowing God and obeying God, we can teach children all day long. It's going to be an uphill climb for them because what's happening here is not what's happening at home. What's happening here should be an augment or an addition or a blessing to what's happening at home. It should not be in the stead thereof. It should be, man, what they've heard all week is being affirmed at church. And the key there is parents that say, I am pursuing God and His Word. It is absolutely imperative that we have spiritual principles developed at home. Too often a child goes to the world because there was no spiritual protection. Too often a marriage ends in divorce because there was no spiritual protection. Now we've talked about Deuteronomy 6 many times in this class and we'll study it in this series. But can I point out one phrase to you as you look at it with me quickly in verse number 6? And these words which I command thee this day, next five words, and let's say them together, class, ready, begin, shall be in thine heart. One more time, those five words, shall be in thine heart. You know what God says to you and I as moms and dads this morning? I want you to teach and here's how to teach, but here's the preface. You can't teach it till it's in your heart. And class, here's my challenge to you this morning. You cannot secure your marriage until you secure your life. You cannot secure your home until you secure your life. You cannot secure your children until you secure your life. If you're living a life where Satan has access to, then I want you to know something. He has access to your marriage and he has access to your home. The first line of defense is you. And it is the securing of your own life. Lord, help me not to take in a false imagination that this is okay or that is okay. Help me to live according to truth. And let this govern my life so that I can help protect my marriage and protect my home. So what will that require of you and I as we close? Let her see. We must be willing then to live preemptively in spiritual battle. Let me give you this illustration and we'll close. Through the 1990s, there was a few men of wisdom in our nation, men of clear understanding and well-studied in the state of the world, and they were urging those in our government to take aggressive, preemptive action against terrorist networks around the world. One of these men was Secretary of State Donald Rumsfeld. And in many public forums and private committees, men like him and others were warning of a new kind of war, a war that was being waged on the United States of America. And it was at that time in our country, as we were hearing these kinds of things, they were kind of brushed off as extreme or a little too aggressive. And these men really seemed paranoid by the mainstream common person. Now, we know in time that their perceptions would prove to be true. Indeed, they had open eyes to something that others did not see. And of course, September 11, 2001 changed the way the world viewed terrorism. On that day, you certainly could say for our country that we had a collective eye-opening. I would sure imagine everyone in this room remembers exactly where you were on the morning of September 11, 2001. And you could recount the moments of that day as you followed along, maybe on a TV screen or a radio broadcast or getting some information as to what was happening there in New York City. And America that day suffered an unthinkable tragedy as terrorists attacked and thousands lost their lives. And it was said of America that it awoke a sleeping giant. We began shortly after that to strategically get involved in ridding this world of terrorism. the leaders of our country were meeting and strategies were being developed and action was being taken. And as all of this was happening, we kept hearing about preemption. Now, the word preemption means an action that makes it pointless or impossible for somebody else to do what he or she intended. And America was being driven to be preemptive. We were being told we can't wait for the next attack. It'll be too late. We've got to get preemptive. We've got to get involved. We've got to stop it. And parents, here's my challenge to us as we move forward in this series. We have to determine to be preemptive. We have to live a life and govern a home in such a way that Satan is not able to do what he wants to do because of the preventative measures that you and I have taken. That we have governed and established our home on the Word of God and that we are following it by faith in obedience to Him. Now, God calls you and I to be sober and to be vigilant. And what we need is husbands and wives and moms and dads who will be preemptive spouses and preemptive parents that will know there's an enemy, that will understand his activity, and will do all they can to protect their home and to secure it and to recognize that their eyes must be open so that they can see the spiritual threats that are out there and so that they can see the hook through the bait. And I want to encourage all of us as we embark upon this series, we must have eyes of understanding. We must have voices of clarity. We must have minds of biblical reason. And we must have commitment before the lives of our children. You and I are the primary protection of the home. That's our job. It's our responsibility. So, if you're up to the challenge of being a preemptive spouse or preemptive parent and committing to live differently, knowing that there is a threat of devour that's out there, then I challenge you to be here next week as we begin to study what is Satan doing and how do we secure our homes in defense of that. May you and I recognize there's an enemy, but there can be victory through Jesus Christ. But we have to choose to live and lead preemptively. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we love your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take this introductory lesson, this challenge this morning on what's really happening out there. And to be determined, we're going to do our part. We're going to live preemptively. We're going to know truth and let truth govern our lives and homes. And Lord, may we this week see it that way. May we be determined to know truth and faithfully to be in your word and to live in obedience to it. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safely next Sunday as we dive in and begin to discover what is Satan doing and how do we secure our relationships from that attack. God, I pray that you bless the families in our class. Thank you for those that are guests today. I pray, Lord, that you bless them and bring them back as we continue to study in these lessons next week. And we promise to praise and to thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.